Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna. You know what's crazy is how much traffic there's been coming to and from Banff on the weekends.
I've seen these posts and I've heard you talking about it, that like it takes forever to get in and out of Banff.
Yeah. So when I went 2 weekends ago, I headed up and I was on my way to Banff, and Kananaskis had some construction going off from the turnoff. And of course, that caused some backups, and that's kind of understandable. They're trying to do some construction, probably assuming it's a bit less busy this year than normal. So that's one thing. But last weekend, the posts of people trying to get back from Banff, it was crazy.
So is the town busy? Is Banff busy?
When we were there, it wasn't. It was way less busy than it normally is in the summer. However, for some reason, the traffic's bad. And all I can think of, I mean, there's far less tourists right now, but locals, of course, are bringing their own vehicles.
Day trippers.
So I wonder how many times there's a lot of those buses that come up instead, and shuttles, and during tourist season, they figured that out pretty well, I think. And now it's a lot of people just bringing their own vehicles.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Banff Tourism is even advertising on the station right now, saying, like, it's never been quieter to visit Banff right now.
No, and like, prices for everything are way cheaper. Hotels are at quarter the price. Like, all of that is showing that they're obviously slow, but the traffic doesn't appear that way.
That's your theory makes sense.
Yeah, and a lot of day trippers, right? Versus, staying overnight and stuff as well. People taking their cars up for the day and hiking. And I think a lot of people who are hiking who normally may be elsewhere.
I think you're probably right about that. We've been making a point to go to some of the quieter parts of the province and avoiding the really busy spots, because we figure everybody and their dog is going to be out there hiking.
Yeah.
And even we hiked Mount Yamnuska recently, but we did it on a weekday, so it was quiet.
Yeah.
This past Saturday, I guess it was so busy on Yamnuska, and there was actually a man killed.
Yeah.
He fell and then got hit by a boulder, and they said it was just kind of like it was backed up on the trails. Emergency services had difficulty getting there because it was so busy. So
yeah, they said it was the busiest in terms of emergency calls they've ever had, they think, as well. Like, there was dozens of emergency calls from people injured and getting lost, and then this unfortunate fatality. And yeah, it's crazy. So if you are planning on, I guess, heading out there, if you are local, just be careful and be wary of the crowded traffic and things that are involved with it.
Or do what I'm doing, take this opportunity to explore some of the less traversed parts of the province.
Yeah, and go on weekdays if you can.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
My boyfriend Cliff lives in Prince Albert, and he's now lived there for over a year. And I've noticed that his language is starting to transform a little bit. So he's starting to speak more and more Prince Albert all the time. And a lot of people in Prince Albert that I've met from being there do have a specific Sasky accent. So I can't say I blame him, because when people around you speak a certain way, you tend to pick up little nuances here and there, little parts of their language, right?
And some people are more susceptible to that than others.
Yes.
Like, we have one friend who, if someone is speaking to him in an accent, will repeat their accent back to them unintentionally.
Yeah.
And they're usually pretty offended.
It's—
are you making fun of my accent?
It's true, right? And Cliff is one of those people, not quite to that extent, but he has a little bit of that in him for sure. So I've actually started writing down some of the examples of things he's said.
I can't wait.
Okay,
I'm excited about this. As someone from Saskatchewan.
Here you go. So some of these are generic Sasky. Some of them are more Prince Albert. Obviously, I seen is one that he's saying a lot now, where he kind of had corrected that. He did say it at one point. Now, duh instead of the. Like, instead of going, I'm going to the store, it'll be, I'm going to the store. Like, there's a
what?
Kind of get rid of the
going to the store
sound. Yeah, like, it's in certain ways, it's not always, but certain ways that he'll let that slide. Of course, slough to describe a swamp is one, but I've noticed that that's kind of Sasky as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
In the rhubarb, talks about that, meaning hit the ditch.
Put her in the rhubarb.
Yep. Here's a weird one. Prit near.
What does that mean?
So instead of like, I nearly walked into the door, he'll say like, I pretty near walked into the door, which is something that—
well, that one's different.
That's a new one, right? Then he come up behind me instead of he came up, right?
My dad says that. He's from a small town in Saskatchewan, and that's how he says it.
Yeah, and he's starting to say that more. And then he done it well. Again, another tense like a different tense that he's using. And these are things that happen. Like, it's a mixing up of the tenses that I find is one of the biggest things that happens.
Yeah. Also, with the one I've noticed from that part of the country is when people say, like, we could only go about 25 mile an hour.
Mm, yep.
My first job, I was making $5 an hour.
Yeah. It's the
like singular instead of the plural.
Singular, yeah. And the tenses. I actually fashioned a sentence based on my experience over the weekend that I feel wraps up PA speak quite well. So here it is for you. So I was walking through the grass when I seen a rabbit. So Jim come up behind me and I says to him, take a look at this.
That's perfect. You sound like you're from Northern Saskatchewan.
If Cliff winds up going full and starts speaking like that, like with all of those mixed in together, I'm going to have to hella vac him out of there, okay?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I know a dude who's pretty deep into some multi-level marketing scheme.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know exactly what he sells, because with those things, I think it's less about the product and more about just scamming people into joining, right? Yeah. Like, he's always talking about the hustle and how much his business is making and the power of positive thinking and achieving goals and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that tells me it's a scam right there. Because generally, if you own a business and you sell donairs, you're like, here's a donair I made. Come check out my donair shop. Not like entrepreneur hustling, getting that money, rise and grind.
Does the idea of making $2,000 a month interest you? Seriously, like that's... It's about the idea, right? Where you hear that and you're immediately blindly interested, and then you realize that that's all they're doing is selling you this idea that doesn't exist.
That's
like,
it.
There's no, as you said, there's no product attached to it. It's just, you can also make $2,000 a month.
And the funniest part is that nobody in the comments is ever like, so what is it you sell? Or like, what are you even talking about, man? It's all like super positive in the comments too. So either like he's flushing the comments for any negativity, or I think like with these kind of organizations/cults, other members are probably encouraged to interact on each other's posts and hype them up, right?
This has been happening on my Instagram posts lately, where I'll get one guy who says, you can make $2,000 a month, and then it's responded to by other people, thank you so much for introducing me for making $2,000 a month. I'm like, what is happening?
Anyway, this guy yesterday, he posted something that stopped me in my scrolling. It actually got me thinking.
Oh.
And usually it doesn't. I just kind of like blow air through my nose and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you need 0 degrees to be a business owner, but you need a degree to work for a business owner.
That's true.
Like, whoa. That is actually true.
Oh, that's deep.
That is super deep.
Wow.
And it's true too. You know, like I know quite a few very successful people who barely made it through high school. They just had a good idea and they had good timing and then they worked hard at it and now they're very successful and, you know, have people working for them who are far more educated than they are.
Yeah. That's crazy to think about, but you're totally right.
Not everybody's wired that way. Not everybody can have that sort of luck, but
you know what else you don't need a degree for? Making $2,000 a month from the comfort of your home.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was listening to one of the local radio stations in Prince Albert over the weekend, and they started listing off the names of people who graduated high school this year. And I was like, that's really nice. They're recognizing those grads who didn't get to have a ceremony this year. And I know a lot of small towns are doing extra things like that. Actually, even in Calgary, I've seen a bunch of those lawn signs that say, like, a blank school grad lives here.
Right.
You know.
And then you talked about what small town was it that had the banners up on the streetlights?
Oh, where was that? Somewhere in Saskatchewan. A small town there. Yeah, they had the banners up with a picture of every single grad listed off there.
I think it was in Nanton. I drove through Nanton over the weekend and they have a billboard out front of the town with all the grads' pictures on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, little things to recognize people who didn't get the full-on ceremony this
year. Yeah, the people who didn't get to walk across the stage in a traditional sense. But anyway, as I thought about this, Cliff was like, they do this every year. I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, the radio station lists off every single grad every year on the radio.
All at once?
No, in big chunks, but there was a significant amount of names that were being listed off. A very large amount. It probably took about 2 minutes of names just being listed off of some of the grads who graduated.
Wow, okay.
Which I was like, that is amazing. Like, I love small town radio for that kind of thing.
Yeah, cool to hear your name. A lot to sit through if you don't know any of the names on the list.
That's just it, you know? Like, can you imagine having to do that here every morning? Like, all right, we're going to get through another 250 names.
I was curious how long it would take us if we did do that, if we acknowledged every grad in Calgary.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find, like, hard numbers. It looks like there might be There's just under 10,000 grade 12 students in the CBE.
Okay.
So that if you include the Catholic schools and the private schools, you're probably looking at like 20,000 grads in Calgary this year.
Okay.
So that would take us, based on my math, over a full week if all we did was read names on this show.
For 4 hours straight?
No, like playing songs okay. and then coming back on and then reading a bunch of names God. And then playing another...
That's a long time.
That is. That would get old fast.
Not to mention, like, I was thinking, how many of those names are butchered? You know? Because you know that they're not getting the appropriate and correct pronunciation of every single name.
Oh, man.
So you just get through the name and you finally hear yours and you are one of the people waiting and then they completely butcher it.
You sit there for weeks and then they just junk it.
Like, Neam McDonald?
No!
No, it's actually Neve, okay? The M makes a V sound and the H is silent. It's like, well, frig me then, okay? How would I know that? I'd get so mad.
We, at our high school, we had a vice principal who was a very nice guy, but man, could he not pronounce a name. And for whatever reason, at the end of... At the end of the school year, anybody who still had outstanding school fees wouldn't get their report card. And after every final, they would read out all the names of people who... like. And there were so many names at that point. I was like, why don't you just read the names of people who don't have to come down to the office? And they would have this poor guy read the names and we'd howl. Because he would like just slaughter everybody's names.
Some people have a gift in mispronunciation.
And like easy ones.
Yes.
Like, I'm talking like English names that you should know.
Yep. Like Tara, he's like Tara. You're like, what? Pretty straightforward, sir.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
We talked about this on the air yesterday. Of course, it's the big news from the week so far. But the Washington Redskins will be changing their name.
Yep.
We don't know what yet, but they released a statement yesterday. Personally, I think it's the right decision.
I agree.
I've listened to the arguments against changing the name, arguments about tradition and virtue signaling, and I don't think in this instance they hold much water.
Yeah. And as I said yesterday, like in the grand scheme of your life, does this affect you in any way? You know, if it makes someone feel better or somebody who maybe is triggered by that, would that not be worth it alone? Because
yeah.
What does it do? What does it change in your day-to-day life? What does that really do to you? You know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, and this isn't my stance, but I think the people who are upset with the team for changing their name just don't want to see anybody cave to pressure, to social pressures.
Okay.
But in this instance, like I read two quotes or two comments that I think really solidified my position that I think this is the right decision. And one said, if you wouldn't say it to someone's face, it probably shouldn't be the name of a pro sports team. And that's an excellent point. Like no respectful person would use that term to an Indigenous person's face. So
you're right.
Why is it on a pro sports team's moniker then?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other post was from a friend of mine. He is Indigenous and he's a very reasonable guy. You know, I think like we all know people who are, you know, always up in arms about something and, you know, can be offended at the
maybe a little too sensitive.
Yeah, the slightest perceived offense against them. But this guy is definitely not that. And he said, I can't speak for all Native folks, but I've been called a lot of racist names and Redskin was one of them. It was derogatory every time. I was like, that kind of says it all to me, doesn't it?
Yep.
Like, so anyways, I was listening to a podcast last night where the host was criticizing the Washington football team for releasing these statements still under the Redskins name. Like their Twitter account is still, I think, at Redskins.
Right.
The letterhead that it came out on said Washington Redskins. And I was thinking about what an enormous job that must be to rebrand when you're an organization that size.
Oh, yeah.
Like your boyfriend might know a bit about this because he works in the sporting world. And, you know, we've seen radio stations rebrand. And that's on a much, much smaller scale than, you know, the Redskins are worth $3.4 billion.
Yep.
Like, I was thinking about every piece of team merchandise and business cards and everything that's logoed and named and all their, like, all that's going to have to be changed. How do you even begin to tackle something like that?
Well, it's done a lot. Like, think about... You know, even the Canucks, how many times they've changed their logo.
Oh, like every 2 years, basically.
And no every history time you change that, it's... yeah.
No history, no tradition.
But seriously, like every time they have to change the logo on absolutely everything. They don't leave the logo a certain way in some spots and not in the other. Like it is fully done and done to an entirety. Like, you can't release something once you unveil a new logo with the old logo on it. That's just not something that you do. So
unless you can, like, give a nod to nostalgia there.
Well, yeah, unless you're doing that intentionally, but they don't. Like, if you look at any team and any time they change their logo, you'll see it immediately changed on absolutely everything.
Yeah, and I guess every other company they have partnerships with and all of their, like, even everything in their concession inside the building, like, everything. In that instance, at least you can keep the name.
Right.
It could still be www.vancouvercanucks.com.
Yep.
But, like, Washington is going to have to redo absolutely everything.
Yeah. That new domain names and Twitter accounts and everything.
It's a big job, isn't it?
It is.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
With the Washington Redskins officially changing their name, which, of course, we've discussed, we completely agree with, it got me thinking about other team names that could potentially be called into question down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped at the Bulldogs. There's a lot of teams that are called the Bulldogs, whether it's minor league teams or whatever. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, I wonder if Bulldogs could be next. Because a lot of the logos that involve a bulldog show a very vicious-looking dog. Some of them have the spiky collar as well. And I was like, I wonder if that could be, you know, incorrectly displaying that bulldogs are vicious that people have as pets.
Right. You're right. Owners of those breeds of dogs don't like that image of it being.
Yeah. Like if there was a pit bull, for example, and that's, you know, something that owners are constantly trying to fight against, saying that it's not the pit bull that's actually vicious. And then you see the stereotype and you go, well, this is actually ruining it. And I was like, I wonder.
That's not impossible.
No. Like again, you know, it's a bit of a stretch, but I was like, I could see that. The other one that I saw that always makes me laugh is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Oh, yeah. that's...
Where when you think about it, it's like there's a leprechaun.
It's a scrappy little leprechaun.
That's fighting as the logo.
He even holds his fists up like old school boxing style, doesn't he? Like,
and I looked into it further, and apparently the original logo actually had a whiskey bottle by his toe.
Are you serious?
They had to remove the whiskey bottle.
Irish original logo. Let's see.
Yeah.
I can't see the whiskey bottle.
Harold, I read about it. It was removed because, again, of the stereotype that goes along with the whiskey bottle and a fighting Irish leprechaun. But all of that, I was just like, it's a bit crazy that one's still around.
I mean, all of the ones that are like have to do with indigenous groups are probably on borrowed time, right?
Absolutely. I think those are all
But I was even thinking about, you know, any team that's named after a group that has quite a violent past, like the Pittsburgh Pirates, for instance. I'm reading a book about historical pirates right now, and it's pretty violent and vicious.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Or any of those groups.
I know. It's interesting to think, like, if that's something that actually, you know, this is obviously different. Like the Redskins, again, like
It was the worst one out of all of them, I
absolutely
think,
and it was time, I think. But I'm just wondering if down the line there will be other ones that are called into question as well.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was trying to think of a few more teams that might be in jeopardy. Some of the ones with Civil War connotations, like the Columbus Blue Jackets, Cleveland Cavaliers, although they, you know, those are references to the Union and not the Confederacy, so they might be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You reminded me that a long time ago you'd mentioned the Nashville Predators because of the word predator, and
it's a bit of a stretch. But I have to be honest with you. When I hear the word predator now, I kind of think of sexual predator, which is awful. But it's in our vocabulary so often now, and we are hearing the term sexual predator a lot more, and that's kind of where my mind goes. So.
They can fall back on the defense that it's obviously the
of course
the cat low. Yeah, I know. But I mean, the people who are going to be really upset and calling for that probably aren't the most reasonable of people.
Yeah. Like that one, I would definitely not argue it should be on the list. But you know,
it's not Redskins.
It's not Redskins. No.
And then you brought up some teams at even the collegiate level. In my hometown of Saskatoon, there was a high school a few years ago who changed their name because for their history, they had been known as the Bedford Road Redmen.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been a campaign started in like the 90s to get the name and logo changed. Their logo was like the Indian Head logo is what they called it.
Right.
And I mean, the school is home to a lot of indigenous students. And then eventually, in I think 2013, there was enough pressure that they finally changed it to Red Hawks, which is, again, is probably a cooler name.
Yes,
so.
I agree. My mom's school that she used to teach at was the Warriors, the Port Credit Warriors. And they changed their name a long time ago. And it was for the same reason, of course, because the logo was traditional headdress. And
okay.
So they got rid of that altogether. I don't know what they're called.
The name is fine.
Yeah.
Just the logo.
Was it just the logo or the name they changed? I think they may have changed the name as well.
Because Washington Warriors is one of the names that's speculated to maybe be taken over for the Redskins. So
just not with the, yeah, that logo.
Different imagery. So.
Yes, for sure.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I told you that the mosquitoes were so bad out in the bush where we were camping this past weekend. We went on a bit of a nature walk and they were even worse in the forest to the point that we had to turn back. And I was asking our group if they'd ever been in a situation where they were getting bitten by so many mosquitoes that you kind of start to panic. Have you ever experienced that, Shauna?
Yeah, a little bit. Luckily, mosquitoes don't like me that much, but I have been in a scenario, where they start biting you and you're just like, you can see how it could escalate super easily not good.
Our producer Melissa said that they prefer certain blood types. I don't know if that's true or not. Have you ever heard that?
Looked into that. Yeah. My dad just doesn't notice them when they bite him, and I'm kind of the same way. Like, even if they're biting me, sometimes I'm just like, oh, it's not quite like some people swell up like crazy, and I have different reactions for some reason.
But our one friend was getting a bit panicky when we were out on this walk. She was like, we should probably turn back. Like, they're really biting me here. And I've been in one of those situations. I've crossed a couple fields in my day where you get partway and you're like, this isn't good.
Like there's swarms sometimes. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God.
And it made me wonder what would happen if you like literally could not get away from the mosquitoes. How bad could it get?
That's a good question.
Could you die?
I don't know.
Could you be killed by, obviously mosquitoes can kill you through disease and that, but could you die from taking too many mosquito bites if you were just like stuck out naked in the woods?
Talk about a form of torture.
Oh my God.
Like that would
be horrible.
Oh my God. Just little pinpricks of.
You kind of start to get a little panicky. You go a little squirrely.
Yeah.
I looked this up and I'm not the first person who's asked this question before. And it's been sort of answered in terms of blood loss. And they said that based on the volume of blood in your body, however big you are and how thirsty these mosquitoes are, around the 100,000 bite mark is when you'd probably have to start being concerned about losing too much blood.
Okay.
100,000 mosquito bites.
Oh, my God.
Nobody had answered this question in terms, because you'd swell up so badly, too, if you're a bit that much. No one has answered this question in terms of, like, what would happen to your body just
prior
from the bites
that,
and the swelling and stuff.
Holy.
But, yeah, if you were a bit 100,000 times, you'd start to lose a significant amount of blood. I never want to find out.
Nope.
What happens?
Like nope.
You said, what a horrible,
that would
horrible
true
way to
torture.
Go.
Potentially the worst I've heard.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Etymology with Shauna.
With the stampede on everyone's minds over the last couple of weeks, it got me thinking about where the genre country came from. So country music was actually started by immigrants in America from Scotland and Ireland mainly, who brought their musical influences with them. And a big part of that was, of course, the fiddle.
Hmm.
Which is still a big part of country today when you think about it. But for hundreds of years, a lot of folk music would grow organically, and it was all kind of isolated in small communities across North America. And it wasn't really until the advent of recording that this music began to take off. And this can actually be traced back to a moment in 1927 in Bristol, Tennessee, when a producer named Ralph Peer decided to capture the music from a bunch of musicians in the South. So he brought in a ton of different musicians from all over the place, and he brought them in to record. And this recording became so influential that Bristol has now been coined the official birthplace of country music because of that. But
I would have guessed that country would have come from, from the South, basically, but from, like the washboard era where people play like washboard and blew the jugs and played the spoons.
Yeah.
Like is that bluegrass? Is that more bluegrass?
That would be more bluegrass.
Okay.
And of course, it kind of combined in with country as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess a lot of the original, main influences were actually from immigrants and the different instruments that they brought over to listen to.
Okay.
So that was kind of cool. And then as the music, of course, gained popularity, it needed a name. And at the time, it was coming from rural areas of the U.S., and there were a bunch of terms being used. So they used Southern folk at one point, Western was used, and hillbilly was used. So hillbilly was kind of ruled out as a bit too offensive at the time. So the term that seemed to stick was country and western. So for a long time, it was just called country and western. And then eventually they dropped the western because they're like, well, the music isn't just coming out of the west anymore. Mm-hmm. It's coming from all over the place. So it just stayed with country.
I think I still prefer hillbilly.
I was going to say, if we could go back in time and make hillbilly what stuck, I would appreciate
that. You listen to some of that hillbilly music?
Etymology with Shauna.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
How weird is it to think that about 100 years ago, the only way to hear music was to hear it live?
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Like, it wasn't until about 1920 that recordings really started to take off. I mean, they were around before then, but prior to that, your only exposure to music was just what you saw and you heard with your own ears and eyes.
I once saw someone say that, like, prior to that, you'd be lucky to hear your favorite piece of music once or twice in your entire life.
Yeah. And if you ever wanted to hear a band live or someone that you were familiar with, let's say something you did hear once or twice before, you would have to travel, go find them, and listen to them live. Otherwise, you would never hear them again.
You'd have to, and you'd probably have to have money to do that too.
Oh, absolutely.
If you were poor, no chance, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully someone in your neighborhood can sing nicely.
Because that's about it. That's what I was thinking. Like, your exposure would be limited to, like, a random fiddler on the street, maybe a trumpet that played the national anthem somewhere or something.
Marching band.
That's it. And you'd hear and see these things and you wouldn't even know what they were. You'd be like, that weird box thing that that person has under their chin is making some sort of sound. I don't even know what it is, but there it is. It's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
My papa actually immigrated to Canada from Ireland and he brought his fiddle with him and he learned to play by ear. So he saw someone else play in Ireland and he learned that way. But when he brought it with him, I was like, he probably, when he played here, could have been the first exposure somebody had ever had to a fiddle.
Yeah, no kidding, hey?
Like, if he was playing it somewhere and people could hear, that might have been the very first they'd ever heard a violin. They'd be like, what is that?
And now it's so common.
Now,
who hasn't heard a violin before?
That's just it. Along with every instrument, really.
Yeah, basically.
You know what they are. Everybody knows most of the instruments now.
And then when recordings were first starting to be made, we talked about this recently on the air, there was concern that, like, the spirit of the music was going to be lost and recordings weren't popular.
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, if you're the type of person that can afford to, you know, travel to Vienna and hear the symphony, then maybe you'd feel that way, but it became that much more accessible to people who didn't have those means.
Mm-hmm.
And now, to think about now, where you have access to literally
every song
that was ever recorded, ever, for free.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much music out there that you could not potentially get to even a minuscule amount of it. There's just so much exposure, so many instruments that we don't even know.
And it's a fairly short window in human history when that shift has happened.
Yeah.
Going from, like, maybe never hearing music to hearing too much music.
Yeah, if you lived in a place where there weren't many people around, you maybe never heard music.
Yeah, if you lived out in a farm somewhere, can you whistle?
Yeah.
What's your whistle there, son?
That's about it.
That's all we got.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Have you ever had anyone offer up way too much information without you asking?
Yep.
My brother was telling me he was in a store the other day and he asked, I guess he kind of knew the owner, and he asked the owner how things were going, and the guy was like, well, I probably shouldn't say too much, but we've lost about 90% of revenue and it looks like chain might be going out of business.
That's the worst. When the information they offer you is depressing in some way.
Okay.
And you're like, how do I?
He's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't be talking about this, but.
Oh, God.
My brother's like, oh, I heard you guys were considering expanding. And he was like, yeah, at this point, you know, it's looking like we'll either expand or go under completely, but I can't say too much about that. My brother's like, I think you might have already said too much.
Maybe just a little bit too much already.
That sounds like basically all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure what information you're withholding at this point.
Yeah.
But
that's happened a few times at grocery stores before, and it's a similar thing where they tell you a lot, and you're like, then you have to stand there awkwardly while they continue to beep, beep.
So anyways,
you're like, how do I?
Here's my medical history.
Yeah. Like,
oh.
I'm so sorry. Like, what do I do here? How do I console you?
On second thought, I don't need food.
Yeah, it's just like I left my wallet. Gotta run. Bye-bye. Yeah.
One time, my brother and I were at West Edmonton Mall. And do you remember when they used to have the... Maybe you weren't there when they had the big dragon in the movie theater?
I don't remember it.
It was hanging from the roof.
Oh, that's
and, like,
sweet.
Every 15 minutes or so, it would, like, the lights would go down and the dragon would start to move and then it would breathe fire. It was...
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was incredible. So... We had my oldest Beau, and my brother and I took him to the movie theater there, and we were, like, looking for the dragon, and it was gone. And the guy was standing there, and we're like, what happened to the dragon? And he's like, yeah, we had to get rid of it a few years back. It was just costing way too much in maintenance. And we're like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, but I can't talk too much about that. And he's looking around while he's saying this. And he's like, but I will tell you that the guy we had on retainer to fix it, we were paying him 10 grand a month to sit down in Montana and not do anything. We're like, oh, okay. He's like, wow. Yeah, but I probably shouldn't go into details about his contract or anything. But let's just say that he was kind of hosing us. We're like, huh, we didn't ask any of this. He's I've been the manager here since 2014 and I've seen a lot of things.
Holy hell.
And he's just looking around the whole time like, yeah, but I can't be talking about any of this. But I'm going to tell you basically everything, even though you didn't ask.
Also, what are you looking around for? Okay, is there someone...
Just keep an eye on his operation.
Oh, my God.
Just keeping an eye on his operation.
I mean, good for him. He's clearly passionate about what he does, and he's mad about the money that he was spending on the guy down in Montana. But honestly, it's like, can I just go get some popcorn now? Like, is this cool, or... Is that all right?
Yeah, we really got stiffed in the contract negotiations. It dragged out for a long time, but I can't go into detail about that.
You don't want the popcorn here either. It's... extremely marked up, and can't tell you about that though.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.